today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Gee, I'm happy to be able to talk to this gentleman. It goes back probably a couple of weeks now. It would have been on probably Channel 83 at night, if I remember rightly. But he really made me sit up and listen. I presume a lot of other Australians too. This is Senator Jim Molyneux. He's a very, very busy man, but he's got a few minutes to talk this morning. I haven't got the exact quote as I remember it, but this just came off the net. Australia's facing the possibility of an unprecedented military conflict amid the increasing likelihood of a war between the United States and China, according to Liberal Senator Jim Molyneux. Now, the retired Major General said war between the United States and China was, quote, more likely than people were prepared to estimate, and warned that by not admitting the possibility of it, Australia was increasing the risk of its occurrence. Anyway, he called for a national strategy which would address every aspect of Australia, not just defence. This is really interesting, actually. There were defence matters that he mentioned, of course, and that was touched on by Nick Trumpf the other day. He was having discussions with an Australian naval voice about the building up of the Navy over the next 20 years here in Australia. But he really made a lot of people, I think, sit up and listen. And there were so many people also drawing the parallels of what happened in Great Britain after 1933 and Hitler's rise to power, with a number of people suggesting, hang on, there might be a threat here, led by Winston Churchill, to the derision of just about every other member of Parliament in those days in Great Britain. And, of course, Churchill was right, and there are people now saying, beware, there's some real issues headed our way. And once again, it was the, what's her name, Christina Keneally in New South Wales. I know it's the day after. She's going, oh, no, this war business is rubbish. We've got to go cap in hand into Beijing and sort matters out that way. Well, there were real echoes of what happened to the British. Well, he wasn't Prime Minister then, the later British Prime Minister, but Winston Churchill through the mid-30s in Europe. Now, Senator Jim Molyneux, yes, he is. He's the Liberal Senate, New South Wales Deputy Chair, Select Committee, Foreign Interference through Social Media, Major General, retired Jim Molyneux. Sorry. Hello, James.
John, how are you?
You made me sit up and listen, and I hope a lot of other Australians the other night as well. What was the feedback like from what you said?
The feedback was quite extraordinary, John. Over 200, apart from the audience that was listening to Catherine McGregor and I in a long interview on Sky and their own Facebook, we've had 200,000 Australians viewed that interview on the 29th. And it's on my website, and my website is just jimmolyneux.com. Mm. And about 3,500 comments. Now, that's quite extraordinary. And I think, you know, you summarised my views very well, I thought. You know, war is not just possible, it's more likely than is currently recognised. And if we deny it, if we have a misplaced optimism, a kind of a naive optimist approach to this, and we hope that things don't go wrong, we're fools.
Mm. Do you know, I'm harking back to when I think other Australians would have become aware of China's current situation and its authoritarian government's aggression. The outburst from the Chinese representative in Canberra, it was in the language of a gutter snipe. And I thought, how can a person in a diplomatic position speak like that? And that's virtually all we've heard since.
Yes, it is. We're getting this wolf diplomacy all across the world. And it's a very aggressive form of diplomacy. And the interesting thing, I reckon, is that China does not see that it is doing anything which it should not be doing. Mm. And the Chinese Communist Party has a particular view of the world and of its rights within the world to do exactly what it wants. Now, we have built an incredibly prosperous world, an incredibly secure world. The world at the moment is more secure, and less people are oppressed, less people are being killed in wars than if you adjust for population, than in any other period in world history. Mm. But this is something we've got to fight to maintain. And the point that I keep making is that across the world, we must prepare for this. We must look at China for what it is. And it is an extraordinary country. It has a right to develop and to become very, very prosperous, and we all prosper because of it. But we in Australia and the world in general must accept China from a position of strength. We cannot hope that China will be nice to us, because it's not being nice to us.
Jim, one of the things you mentioned fright the daylights out of me, you said back in 92, the United States Navy numbered some 600 ships, warships, and now it's something like 300. Surely that would make a lot of people sit up and say, we've got to do more.
Well, it doesn't seem to be doing that, and that's what concerns me very, very much. We keep looking at China and saying, isn't it terrible that China is being very assertive, if not aggressive? Now, that's fantastic, and we should be doing that, but we should also, but that would not matter, John, if the United States was capable of doing now what it was capable of doing in 1991. Mm. At the end of the Cold War, the US strategy, and it had that strategy since 1945, since the end of the Second World War.
Yeah.
At the end of the Cold War in 1991, it had a strategy of what was generally called two-and-a-half war strategy. It could win two major wars, that is, let's say one in Europe, one in the Middle East, and a minor war, let's say a minor war in Asia or in South America, at the same time. Mm. Now, each and every year since 1945, the US has put, in today's dollars, about $750 billion into its defense, into its national defense. Now, we put about $30 to $40 billion per year into our national defense. China, Japan puts about 0.9% of its GDP into defense, and Taiwan, who's on the bloody front line, is not even putting 2% into its own defense. And during Obama's time, that dropped from $750 billion in today's dollars down to about $500 billion. We cannot expect the US to continue to carry the world, and China's rise and aggressiveness and assertiveness would not worry me one jot if the US still had its two-and-a-half war strategy. Now it has one major war and hold in a smaller war. Give me strength, John. Mm. This should worry us 10 times more than what we are perceiving China to be doing.
Interesting. I was having a discussion on this matter and what you'd said with the history of, well, he's an amateur historian, if you like. What happened back in Europe in the 1930s was of great interest to him too. And this came up about the derision that Winston Churchill suffered when he came out and said, listen, there's a threat of war with Hitler. And everyone said, oh, don't be silly. Oh, we've got to build more planes and build up the army. Oh, don't be absurd. We don't want to spend money. We don't want to waste money. Did you cop any of that after what you said the other day?
Not as much as I thought. Russia Today has come out and lambasted at me. Global Times, the Chinese mouthpiece, has come out and had a hack at me, but that's exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Within Australia, and of course, you know, The Guardian and all the lefty organisations, much less, I'm surprised, Sydney Morning Herald came out and said I was a warmonger, or words to that effect.
Yeah.
But not as strong as I expected.
Mm.
Now, the only reason that I'm doing it is for the simple reason that if we don't acknowledge the problem, we will never come to a conclusion as to whether we can solve it.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not talking about a war between China and Australia. I think that's extraordinarily unlikely.
Yeah.
But a war between China and the United States, where we then have to make further decisions or we are just collateral damage, is the war that I'm talking about. And you look across the world and you look across history, and we see that 16 times in the last 500 years, a rising power such as China has overtaken a ruling power such as the United States, and on 12 occasions of those 16, John, war resulted. Now, I'm not a gambling man, but they're not good odds.
Exactly. Just before
they ain't good odds.
Just before you go, because I know everyone's wondering this now as they're listening to you, if indeed this did transpire, conflict between China and America plus its allies, could the use of nuclear weapons be avoided?
I think the threshold for nuclear war has has fallen significantly. The new generation of nuclear weapons, that is, much more efficient and effective nuclear weapons, plus highly capable targeting, means that the threshold for using those weapons is much lower. So I think there would, again, a higher probability of the use of those weapons than has been in the past when, if someone used a nuclear weapon, it was the end of the world. I mean, you know, Cold War One, as we call it, between the Warsaw Pact and NATO, was based on mutual destruction. Nowadays, it is feasible to think that a limited nuclear war could be fought.
This has been absolutely fascinating, Jim. Fascinating, James. We'll stay in touch on this matter because a lot of people have the similar concerns to you and me and lots of others too. What did you say? 200,000 people responded. Is that what it was?
Yeah, 200,000 people saw the interview, which is on my website.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
And really, I suppose, encouraging at least people are tuning in. I'm very happy about
that.
Correct. Good on you, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks, John. All the best.
He's a senator, Jim Molan, these days, the Liberal senator in New South Wales. Now, where is it? Oh, there's a hell of a lot of other descriptions about what he's been involved in over the years. Chief of Operations in Iraq War, being the most prominent one of the list of, I think, about 19 different levels of acclaim here on my screen. It's taken up the whole screen.